In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
C-R-I-M-E-W-A-V. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit.
Consider yourselves warned.
This is Bill Kreider. I'm about to read my Edgar-nominated short story, Cranked, from the anthology Damn Near Dead, published by Busted Flush Press and edited by Dwayne Swersinski. Cranked. After the meth lab exploded, Carla decided she had walked to the truck stop. It wasn't her fault that some moron had fired a shotgun and blown the place up. Carl had been lucky, having jumped out a window before the blast, but she'd been cut by flying glass and the hair on the back of her head was a little bit singed. She still looked pretty damn good, though, better than any of the skanks at the truck stop, that was for sure. She knew she wouldn't have any trouble getting a ride out of town, and she might be able to get away before anybody found out she was still alive. She didn't think anybody else who'd been in the meth lab was alive. The place had gone up in flames just seconds after the explosion. Carla felt a little bit bad about that, but none of it would have happened in the first place if that drug task force Nazi hadn't sent her in there with a wire. Whatever had happened, she figured the whole thing was on him. Not that he'd see it that way, the self-righteous bastard. Carla didn't like walking in the heat and the humidity. The mosquitoes sang around her ears and her whole face felt greasy. She could still smell the cat piss odor of the meth lab, and she supposed the stink was in her clothes and hair. She didn't feel a personal feminine freshness, either. But she had to stay off the road, so it would take her a while to get to the highway. She'd still look better than those truck stop hoes anyway. She heard sirens in the distance and walked back farther into the trees. First came a sheriff's car, and before long a couple of fire trucks came tearing along the county road, dragging rooster tails of dust along behind them. Carla didn't think the fire trucks would do much good, not the way the house had been burning, as if she cared. Lloyd hadn't taken his meds for 2 days, and he was feeling damned sharp, considering. He was fully dressed under the covers except for his shoes, which were stuck under the side of the bed. He thought he was looking good, and he'd look even better when he put his teeth in. Lloyd knew that in his case, better was a relative term, but at least with his teeth in, he'd look a little less like Gabby Hayes. His daughter, Lou, came into the room like she did every day when she got off work. She looked a little disappointed, as usual, that Lloyd hadn't kicked off yet. She was a skinny blonde, but the color was out of some bottle. She'd had brown hair as a kid, but it had gone gray early, not like Lloyd's, which still had a lot of black in it, even though he was 76. Lou had her mother's disposition. That wasn't a recommendation. "How are you today, Daddy?" she said. "Same as every day." Usually Lloyd would hardly answer because his mind was so fuzzed with the drugs. They gave them to everybody in the home because they liked to have the inmates nice and quiet all the time. In a lucid moment, Lloyd had pretended to take the shit and spit it out later. After 2 days, he was almost back to normal. But in Lloyd's case, normal, like good, was a relative term. Lloyd had never liked to play by the rules, which was how he'd wound up in the home. He'd stayed drunk for a week and a half after the doctor had told him what was wrong, and Lou had gotten him committed. He'd been a handful at home, he knew that. So he didn't blame her much. By the time he was halfway sobered up, they'd got him full of the meds and he was trapped. He knew he hadn't led a godly life, and maybe this was his punishment for all the things he'd done before he got sent to the pen that time. He'd put that behind him after his release, but things had a way of catching up with a man. He'd been a healthy, strong guy for most of his life, and once in the pen he'd jerked an axe handle away from a building tender who'd knocked out his teeth with it. Lloyd had cold-cocked the building tender with the axe handle and spent 2 weeks in the cooler, but it had been worth it. His false teeth always reminded him of that building tender, the bastard. "Daddy," Lou said. Lloyd came back from wherever he'd been and looked at his daughter with what he figured was the right amount of confusion and distrust. "Sure could use a Coca-Cola," he said. Lou looked at him sternly, the bitch. She hadn't sprung for so much as a single Coca-Cola since he'd been in the home, nor even a candy bar. Made him spend his own money, of which there was damn little left. "Some change in the drawer," he said. Lou sighed. She walked over to the cheap nightstand by the bed and pulled open the drawer. 3/4 lay in the bottom. She glanced down at them and then at Lloyd, who gave her a pathetic, pleading look. "Oh, all right," she said. She took the quarters from the drawer and left the room to go to the soft drink machine, which was in the big rec room, quite a distance from Lloyd's own room. As soon as she cleared the door, Lloyd sat up, turned around, put on the old black walking shoes he'd bought at Walmart. He liked them because of the Velcro straps. He stood up and looked over at the other bed where a dried-up fellow named Jones lay on his back with his eyes and mouth wide open. He was just about mummified. In the month and a half he'd been in the home, Lloyd had never heard Jones say a word. "I'm busting out of this joint," Lloyd told Jones. Jones didn't respond. Maybe he really was a mummy. Lloyd didn't waste any time on him. As he'd hoped, Lou had left her purse on the room's only chair. Lloyd took her billfold and helped himself to the money inside. Only $21. It would have to do, and he figured she owed it to him. He also helped himself to her car keys. Then he put the purse back down and went out into the hallway. He looked both ways. Nobody in sight. There was an exit door at the end of the hall to his left, and he didn't think it was alarmed. But with the drugs, nobody ever tried to leave, so there was no need to go to the trouble and expense of wiring the doors. Lloyd walked down the hall, his rubber soles squeaking on the linoleum floor. He hesitated for a second when he came to the door, then took hold of the bar and pushed. The door opened and no alarm sounded, so Lloyd slipped out and let the door close silently behind him. He looked around the parking lot until he saw Lou's old Chevy Malibu. Piece of crap, but it was all he had. He took his teeth out of his pocket and stuck them in his mouth, moving them around until they felt right. When they did, he gave a porcelain grin. It felt good. Whistling San Antonio Rose, Lloyd headed for the Malibu, grinning again as he thought of the look on Lou's face when she got back to the room and found him gone. The grin faded when he saw the needle on the Chevy's gas gauge was sitting on the red E. Shit. He'd have to buy gas and he didn't have but $21. He could remember when you could fill the tank for a hell of a lot less than $5, but not any more. Well, he'd worry about that later. He wheeled out of the parking lot and headed for the truck stop. Royce Evans and Bud Isom were tooling along in Royce's rattletrap Dodge Ram pickup. They looked a lot like the two guys in the Dodge ads on TV, but they didn't know it. They thought they looked like George Clooney and Brad Pitt in Ocean's 13, only taller. It was the crystal that gave them that illusion, which is one reason they liked to amp up. They had plenty of other reasons, too, but that one was good enough. Trouble was, staying amped cost money, and Royce and Burl didn't have any. "Shit," Royce said as he drove the Dodge in and out of a chug hole, causing him and Burl to bounce their heads off the roof. Both of them laughed like monkeys. "Where are we going to get us some money?" Burl said when the pickup had stopped rocking. Could have used new shocks, but fat chance that Royce would spend any money on something like that. "Shit if I know," Royce said. "Can't get it from Carla. She's in jail." Carla worked for a house cleaning service called the Queens of Clean. She'd let Royce into a couple of houses, and he'd pilfer a thing or two. Carl had taken a fall for him, which was how she'd wound up as an informant in the county's one-man drug task force. "We ought to do what Clooney would do, him and Brad Pitt," Royce said. "Knock over a casino or something." "Closest one's Coshatta," Burl said. "We could be there in an hour, but them damn Indians would tomahawk us if we tried it." "Fuck the Indians. We could take 'em. But we ain't got an hour to spare. Let's knock over the truck stop." "How are we going to do that?" "Check this out," Royce said. He leaned over and opened a glove compartment. A Glock 9er slid out and bounced off the floor of the truck. "Holy shit," Burl said, picking it up. He looked it over and put it back in the glove compartment. "Where'd you get that thing at?" "Stole it off a dead Indian," Royce said, and he and Burl went off on another laughing jag. After he managed to get control of himself, Burl said, "Goddamn, Royce, you killed me. You are one funny son of a bitch." He reached out and slugged Royce in the right arm, and Royce lost his grip on the steering wheel. The truck slewed from one side of the road to another, the headlight beams shining into the ditches and fields. Royce fought the wheel, but he couldn't keep the truck out of the ditch. It went down the steep side, ripping through the tall weeds, tilting dangerously. Just before it hit the bottom, Royce clamped both hands on the wheel and wrenched hard to the left. For several seconds, the truck cruised along the side of the ditch. Burl stuck his head out the window and howled like a ruptured wolf until Royce manhandled the truck back up onto the road. Royce looked over at Burl and said, "Want to do it again?" Burl laughed even harder than before. Finally, he wiped the tears from his eyes and said again, "God damn, Royce, you killed me. You are one funny son of a bitch." By the time she finally got to Trucker's Heaven, Carla was frazzled. But that didn't keep her from being impressed, as she always was, with the way the place looked. It was the liveliest place in the county, acres of concrete for the big trucks to park, lit up like Las Vegas. 24 gas pumps for the four-wheelers in front, diesel in the back. Everything you could want in the big rambling building. Restaurant where you could get chicken fried steak big as a pizza. Store that sold DVDs, CDs, candy bar, beef jerky, beer, you name it. Showers, bedrooms where you could pick up a phone and order a massage of just about any body part. Fast food burgers and rotisserie chicken. A sound system that pumped country music into the air 24 hours a day. Carla thought the real heaven, in which she believed powerfully as only someone who never attends church can, must be a lot like that. But heaven probably didn't have quite as many truckers. That would be okay with Carla. Most of the ones she'd met in the past had been nice enough, but not all of them. You could never be sure. However, Carla had held on to her .22 pistol when the meth lab blew up, so she figured she'd be fine. She threaded her way through the cars and gas pumps and walked up to the big glass doors. Lloyd hated Trucker's Heaven. He hated the lights and the noise, which reminded him of some cheap carnival midway. It made him long for the days when he'd pull up to the one of the two pumps at the Sinclair station and Harry and Larry, Derryberry twins, would come striding out in their uniforms and gray caps with a green dinosaur on them and fill up his car, check the oil and water, air up the tires, sweep out his old Ford with a whisk broom while Lloyd sat there in the front seat in comfort. Now he'd have to get in line to buy gas that cost him as much as three or four good meals would have back in the day, and he'd have to pump it himself. If the tires needed air, he'd better have some quarters because the compressor wouldn't work without payment. And nobody was going to look under his hood either. It was okay, though. All he wanted to do was gas up and get out of there. First, however, he'd have to pay. Nobody gassed up at Trucker's Heaven without sticking a credit card in the pump or paying inside first. Lloyd parked at the pump, got out, and went to pay. He figured he'd get $20 worth of gas and use the dollar that was left over for a candy bar. What he'd do for money after that, he didn't know. It might not even matter. Royce made a hard right turn off the feeder road onto the concrete lot at Trucker's Heaven with tires squealing. He sailed into a parking spot between a Hummer and an Escalade and threw on the brakes just in time to keep from running up over the curb and into the ice machine that sat on the walk. Neither Royce nor Burl was wearing a seatbelt. Burl slammed into the dash, which he thought was funnier than anything that had happened so far. Royce had been braced for the stop, so he didn't quite bang his head on the steering wheel. "Hand me that pistol," he said. Burl couldn't stop laughing, but he managed to open the glove compartment. The pistol slid out and fell to the floor. "Shit," Royce said, "you can't do anything right." He leaned over and picked up the Glock. "Let me use it," Burl said between giggles. "You don't have enough sense," Royce said. "Let's go." "What about masks? We can't let them see our faces." "We'll pull up our T-shirts, like this." Royce reached a hand into his outer shirt, a green, yellow, and red Aloha job that he probably thought was invisible, and pulled his T-shirt up over his nose. "See?" Burl got the giggles so bad that he slipped off the seat into the floor and doubled up under the dash. "You're an asshole," Royce said. "Just for that, you can stay in the truck." Burl nearly strangled himself as he tried to stop giggling and got back up on the seat. He pulled his T-shirt up over his nose, narrowed his eyes, looked from left to right, and said, "Let's go." "Not while you look like that. We got to be inconspicuous." They unmasked, got out of the truck, and stepped up on the walk. Burl walked toward the door. "Hey, Royce. There's Carla. I thought she's supposed to be in jail." "Damn," Royce said. "And who's that old fart with her?" Burl shrugged. "Never saw him before. Maybe he's her grandpa. Well, they just better not get in our way. Come on. Can I put my mask on?" "Go ahead." Burl pulled up his T-shirt and giggled all the way to the door. Lloyd thought the girl in front of him sure did have a nice shape. And she even said thank you when he opened the door for her. Showed she had a good upbringing. He looked around before he went in and saw a couple of red-necked idiots headed his way. One of them had his T-shirt pulled up over the lower half of his face, and the other one had something in his hand that he was hiding behind his back. Sounded like one of them was giggling, but Lloyd couldn't be sure, what with the Cornell Herd band blasting over the speakers. Anyway, his hearing wasn't what it used to be. Whoever they were, Lloyd wasn't going to hold the door for a couple of assholes like that. He started inside, but Royce sped up and jerked the door out of his hand. "Get out of the way, you old fart," he said. Lloyd didn't take that kind of shit from anybody. "Look here," he said. "Shut the fuck up," Royce said, pulling his T-shirt up over his nose and sticking the gun in Lloyd's skinny belly, "and get the hell out of my way." Lloyd doubled over, not because of the pistol barrel in the belly, but because of what was already in there that the doctor said was going to kill him. "Yeah," Burl said, shoving Lloyd into the store and into a cardboard bin of bargain CDs. "Get the hell out of my way." The bin collapsed, and Lloyd went to the floor amid a pile of plastic. Carla looked around at the noise. "Royce? Is that you?" "Hell no." Royce pointed the Glock at the man behind the high counter. "Give me all your money." Burl stood by, giggling. "Burl?" Carla said. "What the hell do you two think you're doing?" "Robbing the joint," Burl said between giggles. "How'd you know us with our masks on?" A woman in the candy aisle overheard him and looked around. She started to scream when she saw Royce's pistol. Royce turned and fired off a shot that went over the woman's head to shatter the glass door of one of the big refrigerators holding soft drinks, fruit juice, and water. The man behind the counter grabbed the mic that he used to talk to the people pumping gas. "We have a robbery in progress," he said. "Call 911. Call 911. People all over the parking lot pulled out cell phones and started punching in the number. "Shit, shit, shit," Royce said. Carla thought he was wasting his breath, and so were those people making calls. All the cops in the county would still be out at the meth lab sifting through the ashes. It'd take them a while to get organized and get to the truck stop. Three burly truckers, intent on foiling the robbery, started toward the front from the Hickory Holler restaurant in the back, one of them carrying a chair like it was a kid's toy. Roy shot him. He fell against a popcorn machine, dropping the chair. The other two men ducked into the chips and peanuts aisle. "God damn," Burl said. "Royce," Carla said, "you're cranked out of your mind. Put down that gun." Royce wasn't listening. He turned back to the cashier and put a bullet into a carton of Marlboros on a shelf behind him. "Give me the money. Come on, come on." Cashier said, "We put it all in the vault slots. All's I got is about $15. Come on, come on." Lloyd finally got untangled from the CD bin and knocked the CDs off him. Trucker music, Red Sovine, Dave Dudley, C.W. McCall. Lloyd figured the truckers were the only ones using CB radios anymore. He stood up and said, "Hey, asshole." Burl looked at him over the rim of his T-shirt. "Which one of us you mean?" "You'll do," Royce said and kicked him in the balls. Burl's T-shirt slipped down to reveal his whole face, but that was the least of his concerns. He grabbed his crotch and fell to his knees, trying to get his breath, tears running down his face. Royce grabbed the money the cashier put on the counter and turned to Burl. "Get up, dumbass. We got to get out of here." "No, you don't," Lloyd said. "Let me have that gun." "Screw you," Royce said and pulled the trigger. The bullet missed Lloyd and blew the cotton brains out of a teddy bear and a tin of stuffed animals. "Look what you did," Lloyd said. "You old bastard." Royce was ready to pull the trigger again, but Carla said, "Don't you pull that trigger, Royce. I have a gun, and I'll shoot you in the knee if I have to." Lloyd had known the girl had a good upbringing. She was sticking up for her elders. Royce looked at her and slammed the Glock into her wrist. She dropped the .22, and Burl picked it up as he struggled to his feet, his left hand still holding his crotch, tears running down his face. "Shoot the old fart," Royce said, "and let's go." He grabbed Carla's good arm and dragged her through the door. Lloyd walked up to Burl, who was halfway bent over and trying to get his finger through the trigger guard of the .22. Lloyd took hold of the pistol and twisted it up and back. He heard Burl's finger snap. Burl fell to the floor, assumed the fetal position, and whimpered like a baby, his hands clutched together at his groin. When Lloyd started past him, however, Burl stuck out a foot and tripped him. Lloyd staggered into the thick glass door and hit his forehead on it. He turned around and shot Burl in the ass cheek. Burl screamed like a panther. "Jesus," the cashier said, "you're one mean old dude." Lloyd gave him a blindingly white grin. "You ain't seen nothing yet, sonny." Royce shoved Carla into the floorboard on the passenger side of the truck and started to back out of the parking space. But he couldn't see too well because of the Escalade on one side and the Hummer on the other. Which is why he didn't notice the Camaro. The driver of the Camaro didn't see Royce either because he had his windows up, was talking on his cell phone, and listening to Gwen Stefani with his speakers cranked up loud enough to drown out the Cornell Herd band from the trucker's Heaven speakers. The rear of the truck hit the front of the Camaro, turning it halfway around. The driver, who had no idea what had happened, jammed his foot on the brake, missed, hit the accelerator pedal. The Camaro shot forward and crashed into the grill of a Trans Am that its driver was filling with regular unleaded. The Trans Am was shoved backward about 10 feet, not a bad thing in itself. The bad thing was that the hose was still jammed in the filler hole and was torn from the pump, regular unleaded sprayed all around. An alarm sounded. Gwen Stefani said, "This is my shit," and the clerk inside Trucker's Heaven hit the automatic shutoff button, but it was already too late because the right front hubcap popped off the Camaro, spun a foot or two, and struck the concrete, sending up a couple of sparks. That was all it took to turn Trucker's Heaven into Trucker's Hell. Fire was all over the Camaro and the Trans Am. The guy who'd been at the pump had run out of the way, and the Camaro's driver jumped out and ran too, as did everyone else who was at the pumps. Carla tried to get out of the floor of the truck and see what was happening, but Royce hit her in the forehead with his fist and knocked her under the dash. The pickup had stalled when it hit the Camaro. Royce ground on the starter, but he couldn't get it to catch. "Fuck this," he said, when he looked back and saw the parking lot aflame. He jumped out of the door of the truck and ran around the Hummer, where Lloyd was waiting for him. "Where's that lady you had with you?" Lloyd said. He had to yell to be heard over the screams, the country music, and Gwen Stefani. The Trans Am blew up about then, so if Royce answered, Lloyd didn't hear him. Lloyd hadn't expected an answer, however. He had a feeling that Royce hadn't had a very good upbringing and didn't respect his elders. Royce grabbed for the Glock he'd stuck in the waistband of his pants, intending to shoot Lloyd. He wasn't likely to miss, since they were standing only about 2 feet apart. Lloyd had the .22, and he wouldn't mind depriving the world of one more piece of white trash. He'd have done it, too, if he'd known how many bullets he had left. He'd already wasted one on that asshole in the store, and he didn't want to waste another. He was standing by the freezer that held bagged ice. So he reached out his left hand, flipped the door open, swinging as hard as he could back into Royce, who had the pistol almost out of his waistband. When the door hit his hand, Royce pulled the trigger. His scream could be heard even above Gwen Stefani, who was declaring yet again that she wasn't no hollaback girl. "Maybe you just shot the end of it off," Lloyd said. He stepped over Royce, who was now lying on the none-too-clean sidewalk with blood on the front of his pants. Lloyd gave him a little kick for good measure and went to the truck. He looked in on the driver's side and saw Carl on the floor. Off to his right, another car blew up with a whoomp that shook the parking lot. Lloyd could feel the heat from the fire through his clothes. "We better get out of here," Lloyd said. "What do you think?" "Let's go," Carla said, wiggling out from under the dash. Lloyd pulled himself up into the driver's seat. The engine turned over the first time he tried it, and he drove past the burning cars and pulled onto the service road. Looking in the rearview mirror, he saw his daughter Chevy consumed by flames. He hoped she had good insurance. "Which way are you headed?" Lloyd said. Carla fluffed her hair. She wished she'd had time freshen up a bit and use the toilet. Maybe she could do that a little farther on down the road. "I was thinking of visiting my aunt up in Paragould, Arkansas. She might give me a job in her beauty parlor. Where are you going?" "Never been to Arkansas. What's it like there?" Carla started to answer, but she closed her mouth when she looked up and saw the sheriff's cars, a couple of fire trucks, and a DPS car headed for them, flashers going, sirens yowling. "Don't think they'll be interested in us," Lloyd said. "There's this big fire back there behind us, and they'll be going to that." Carla looked back just as there was another explosion. A fireball rose in the sky, and she thought it was even brighter than when the meth lab went up. She wondered if Arkansas was far enough away, but she guessed it would do. "Arkansas's all right," she said, turning to give Lloyd a good look. "You want to go? We could have us some fun." "Damn, girl, I'm old enough to be your granddaddy. Considering the way I spent some of my time when I was younger, I might be your granddaddy." "I don't think so. My mama's not from around here. She had me up in Paragould. You never been there, have you?"
"Nope."
"Okay, so how about it?" Lloyd stopped at a red light. When it changed to green, he turned left, drove under the highway, and turned left again. When he was headed north on the highway, he said, "You sure you want me to go along?" "Like I said, we could have us some fun if you did." Lloyd thought about it. "I got to tell you two things before you decide for sure. One thing, I ain't led a blameless life." Carla nodded. "That makes two of us. What's the other thing?" Lloyd didn't think he'd tell her about the stomach problem. Why worry her? He wondered how much fun a man his age could stand, and how long somebody who was damn near dead would last with a woman like this one. By God, maybe he'd just find out. "Well," Carla said, "what's the other thing?" Lloyd gave her a grin. "These ain't my real teeth," he said.
"In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums!"
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by The Crime Wave.
Get trusted.